14 to midday. This is 3BA's Ballarat Today as we bring the show home today with one of Ballarat's characters. Many of you would be familiar with this guy's name, Mr. Jeremy Bannister. You're probably familiar with that mustache and that goatee. You might be familiar with his work in the pages of The Courier forever and a day as one of their leading photographers. You might be familiar with his work as president of Legacy. But did you know, from the late 70s to the mid-80s, he was on the other side of the planet taking photos of some of the world's biggest stars? Jeremy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Now, I get some long texts. I sent you one the other day and said, Jeremy, give me an idea about who you spoke to. And you sent me back, it is officially the longest text I've ever received. Sex Pistols, Stranglers, Everly Brothers, Neil Young, Ozzy Osbourne, Hot Chocolate, Roger Waters, the list goes on. And you've told me now, you've only just started pulling this list together before you forget.
I thought I better start writing these down because I'm getting older and I'm starting to forget the bands I've photographed or gone to see because there's so many over the years because it was my job, so I saw so many of them.
How does a young guy from Australia end up taking photos of stars in London?
Right time, right place, a lot of it, and just passion because it was one of those. The late 70s was a great time for music because up until then it was the Eagles and the Doobie Brothers and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It was all overproduced and middle-of-the-road music. It was okay, but it wasn't for young kids. And suddenly punk came along and shook everyone up. And it was this wonderful thing where most people hated it, but it was a really exciting time. It was political, it was anti-establishment, it was everything that an 18-year-old wants to do. And it was that, yep, I've got to get involved in this.
And Australia, whilst it would have been a fun scene at the time, it wasn't enough for
you?
You had to go overseas?
We had. My sister's boyfriend was lead singer of one of the first punk bands in Melbourne. So through him, I got to meet a lot of others like Nick Cave and all those guys from the Birthday Party or the Boys Next Door they were then. Lots and lots of bands, but they really came and went very quickly. And it was always the Holy Grail was London. That's where it was happening. Yeah, and it was like I couldn't get there quickly enough. I was at school and just wishing I could, you know, get on the next plane to London and go and photograph them because they were turning over such rapidity that just weren't, you know, they weren't staying around, some of them, for very long, but they were fascinating.
So what would a day in the life of Jeremy Bannister look like over there in the late 70s, early 80s in the UK?
Oh, look, it was pretty much fun because nothing had really happened during the day. If I'd been to a concert the night before, I'd take the photos into the Enemy, which was in Carnaby Street in London. And the editor then was Neil Spencer. He went on to do the Pet Shop Boys. And I'd take the photos in and hope that they would print them because the only way you get paid was if they put photos in the paper. It was that thing. But I was the first Australian ever to work on it, and the Enemy was the biggest paper in the world. It was a music newspaper, much, much bigger than Rolling Stone. No one really cared less about Rolling Stone. It was very boring and middle class and West Coast America. Whereas the Enemy was really the one that could make or break bands.
So did you make some money in the day?
Oh, no. Look,
you didn't?
No, look, as I say, it was the biggest rock and roll paper in the world. And we got paid less than one of the stable mates, which was Melody Maker, because it was the idea was that, well, you're working on the biggest paper, so you don't get paid as much. It was bizarre.
Goodness gracious.
But yeah, then I'd take the photos in, I'd go and buy records during the afternoon, which was great fun. And then buy and sell records. I knew every record dealer in London.
Yeah.
Get on my bicycle and ride around and go and buy and sell rarities, because I knew I'd never get them in Australia. And then prepare to go out that night for another concert.
You hear about the hard partying rock and rollers. Does that extend to the photographers as well?
No, it was a weird life because in the early 80s when I was in London, the tube finished at midnight, so there was no public transport after then. So quite often, I'd finish 12:30 or something. The concert would finish, and I'd be absolutely deaf because I had my head in the speakers. There was no such thing as earplugs or anything like that. And I'd be walking home from the West End of London with all the cameras on my back and thinking, I hope I don't get mugged. And I'd have to go home and set up a dark room and process that night in the pitch black.
Of course.
You know, it was a classic thing, living in a squat in London. Yeah, and
having a dark room. I just pictured you with a bottle of vodka. Nothing like that.
Again, if you didn't get a photo,
you didn't get paid. Yeah.
And the whole thing was that you didn't know if you even had an image because it was film. And you had to guess the light. It was all manual focus. It was manual exposure. There was no cameras that can see in the dark now. There was none of that. You had to guess the light with your eye and process accordingly and hope you had an image and then hope it was sharp.
Have you got a favourite photo?
Yeah, I do actually. There's a guy called Johnny Thunders who was the lead singer of the New York Dolls. And I knew when I was photographing him, he wasn't going to live much longer. He had a terrible reputation of being a drug addict, and he was a terrible heroin addict. And it was just a rumor that he was not long for this world. And sure enough, he lived that live fast, die young credo, which was really sad. But it was just, to me, it just summed up that whole rock and roll thing. He had the cigarette in his mouth. The smoke was coming through the spotlight behind him. He's leaning forward with his guitar and his eyes closed. And to me, it just summed it up. It was one of those classic right time, right place shots.
On the opposite end of the scale to that, you photographed Barry Manilow.
That was a funny one because the Enemy prided itself on basically making or breaking bands. And we went down a very, very good journo who's now based in New York called Barney Hoskins. We hired a car from London and drove to Oxfordshire to Blenheim Palace. And it was on the grounds of Blenheim Palace, 40,000 people. And we went down, poo-pooing it, going, this is going to be ridiculous. But then we were in the VIP enclosure up the front, and there was Captain Sensible from The Damned and Boy George, and I was thinking, what are these people doing here? But we drove back to London with our tails turned, and Lee's going, he's really good. And we hated to admit it because we were expecting to slag him off. And that, we went down knowing that, you know, we were probably going to do a hatchet job on him.
And wasn't the case.
He was a great performer. He was I don't like his songs, but I knew basically every one of them. And he did it brilliantly. He just was a consummate performer.
What about Ozzy Osbourne?
No, poor old Ozzy. One of his many comebacks. He paid for a group of us to go from London to Sheffield, put us up in a hotel, meals, drinks, transport to the gig. And I got a photo of him. Look, he was wearing tracksuit pants. This is when he was biting heads off bats. And he came out in tracky dacks and a T-shirt, and he just looked awful. And the poor fella, you know, he was a nice guy. And I got a photograph of him where he'd been sweating profusely and it looked like he'd wet his pants. And I knew that's a photo we'd use. And we did. We captioned it, Ozzy wets his pants. And back to the hotel, and he wanted to have drinks with all of us. I couldn't look him in the eye. I had one drink.
Because you're about to release this
photo.
I
knew I was going to slag him off and make him look awful. And to this, apologies, Ozzy, because, it was an awful concert. I hate that sort of heavy metal, but I was there to do a job, and I just unfortunately made him look terrible.
Jeremy, we're done for time. I get the feeling, though, there's so many yarns you could talk to us about. Would you come back on the show again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's so many more names in front of me here.
Funny stories from that time.
Simple Minds, Spandau Ballet, Midge Pete Gabriel, Grace Jones, the list goes on. Just before we let you go, the great T-shirt you've worn in today. Do you want to tell us what it says?
And it's very apt. My girlfriend, who I was living with in London, who put up with my antics photographing these bands, sent this to me recently. And it says, I may be old, but at least I got to see all the good bands.
Sums it up perfectly. Jeremy Bannister, fascinating chatting to you on Ballarat today. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, mate.